Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And we're going to challenge you to transform your financial future through the principles of the most profitable business in the world, banking.
We believe everyone should be involved in two businesses, the business that you're in and the banking business. Everyday people can replicate what bankers have been doing for centuries to leverage capital and build wealth through private lending.
Join us as we uncover the truths about money, expose lies and myths, and flip conventional financial advice on its head. Here we go.
All right. Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
What's up? What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Had a good weekend. Hannah and I went down to Dallas for an event. And it was at this hangar, and all these rich dudes flew their private jets in, and there was a bunch of exotic cars there. It was just a networking event that somebody invited me to. It was pretty cool. Got to talk to some really interesting people. Ran into this dude, this gigantic, I don't know, 6'6", you know, 350-pound black dude. And Hannah's like, did you play football? He's like, yeah, I played a little bit for Steelers and the Bears back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, man, those dudes are huge in person.
Yeah. Huge people.
Yeah. But anyway, it was nice. Nice weekend away, kind of the quarterly getaway and recharge. It was a little bit of work, a little bit business, but you were there. So we hung out.
I was there.
A bit on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How was that? How was that time with James?
It was great. You know, salt of the earth, down to the earth person.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, tremendous success. And I think one of the guys that we know that's doing it right and that we, you know, kind of aspire to be like,
yeah,
in this business. But just, yeah, we hung out, went out to eat, smoked cigars, drove around his property. You know, he's got a ton of land down there. It was just cool. It was really cool just to hang out, talked business a little bit. Talked family, talked, you know, just everything. And, you know, and his wife's super nice. And I'd met her several times, but it was just, just cool to just hang out. No agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could have hung out, but I already had plans, but it was great to get down there and check that place out.
Yeah. His, the way his house is, it's going to be sort of similar to mine, you know, a single story. You know, you walk out back and there's the pool and he's like, this is my place right here. This is where I come after work. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait to, cause I don't have that here. Right? I don't have any place I can go to just chill out.
Right. I know. So, we had somebody come by today and look at underneath the porch.
Yeah.
Underneath it's just mulch right now, but we're looking at putting some, you know, hardscape down there.
Yeah.
Make some good hangout space in the summertime down there in the shade. So maybe that'll be my little go-to place.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah.
So we were laughing about a comment that we read on one of the episodes on YouTube, and we love the comments. Keep them coming. I'll let you read that, but it inspired us to put together, you know, what we're going to talk about today. Cause there's more people like this dude.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably should have worn our clown outfits, but I will say this, that I do appreciate people I appreciate this kind of comment. In the sense that it, you know, very few people relative to the entire population are going to even understand what we're talking about or what we're doing here with the infinite banking concept and dividend paying whole life. They'll never have a clue. And that's the way it is. But anyway, so this guy wrote, the only clowns pumping infinite banking are insurance salesmen. I never invest with a clown pushing life insurance as an investment. And then he wrote in all caps, term life, people.
Like his rally cry.
In that voice.
And so this is Johnny Blaze. So first, quit being such a Sally and put your real name in there, Johnny Blaze. I like people who go troll online and use a fake name, a pen name.
Yeah, that's a fake name.
Especially one that, you know, a nickname they probably gave themselves because nobody's cool enough to be called Johnny Blaze.
know.
Yeah. But anyway, I never invest with anybody pushing life insurance as an investment either, Johnny Blaze.
Right. So we have
that. And I'm not sure where you got the idea that that's what we're doing. You obviously didn't listen to the episode, Johnny Blaze. So you could keep trolling and making random comments on random episodes you see for people who are pumping infinite banking, as you say. But yeah. This guy's a complete clown.
Yeah, clown. The other thing is, too, is, you know, I know your business model. I know my business model. I don't think I've sold a policy ever.
Never sold a policy? Yeah.
We are sought out and sought after so that people can practice, because the general public, some in the general public would like to practice the infinite banking concept because they've heard about it, or they see that you're doing it, or I'm doing it, or whomever. And they read a book, they listen to some content, and they understand the why behind the infinite banking concept. And then we assist them in that endeavor and become their coach and their advocate, and you know, ultimately their life insurance agent forever.
Right.
So, you know, Nelson says it on page 3 in the book, I think, is that this is not a sales tool for agents. It's simply not.
He does say that. Yeah. It's not.
So anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It's
so they go out there cold calling and get a phone book or whatever. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of an obvious thing to say. The only people pumping infinite banking are life insurance salesmen. Well, yeah, the only people pumping, Teslas are Tesla dealership owners. I mean, I don't know. And
actually they're direct sales to the consumer. There are no dealerships.
There you go. So I used a bad example there, but yeah. Well,
how many times can we say pumping in the episode?
Yeah, I don't know.
we have to try to incorporate that word into every single thing we talk about today.
Okay. All right. We might lose some people along the way, but that's okay. We're just tightening our circle.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, so we thought we would talk about, you know, We haven't revisited this topic in a while, IBC haters, and you know more times than not, the ignorant comments that they throw out that they heard somebody else say and they just latch onto. So we're going to go through a few of these, because probably all of you who are infinite banking users, you have policies that you utilize for the purposes of infinite banking. You probably hear this from people around. If you open up your mouth and talk to your nearest, you know, coworkers or friends about what you're doing with whole life insurance, they'll say this exact same stuff. They may not say it, you know, like Johnny Blaze does, like a complete jerk, but you know, they'll say it probably from a point of superiority. You know, well, I must know more than you about this because I know it's stupid.
Right.
So, yeah, well, in this one, you know, one of the first ones we came up with is what basically he just said. The only reason some jerks sell whole life insurance is because of the commission. That's it.
You know, you see that out there in the wide, wide world is this railing against people getting paid for providing service. And I don't know where it comes from. There's different ways to get paid in this world. You could be a W-2 employee. You could be a 1099 contractor. And that's what we are.
Yeah.
With various life insurance companies out there in the country. We certainly don't work for free. Yeah, nobody does.
Expert knowledge. Right? And what does that take to get expert knowledge?
Well, it takes a tremendous amount of dedication and work, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and it takes money. I mean, for your education.
Yeah, right.
But mostly time and sacrifice, you know, because if you're doing one thing, you can't be doing another thing. You know, I could either be learning about this or I could be out playing with my kids.
That's right. Yeah. And the education is continuous.
Yeah.
There's literally continuing education that we're required to take, and also, we educate ourselves outside of those kind of federal or state mandated classes that we must take every year.
Right.
By reading other types of books, whether they're on real estate or they're
which is much better something. Education than anything that's state mandated.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
yeah. That's yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's I think that's silly. You know, some most people though are just curious. You know, am I paying, you know, we've, and I'm sure you've had it too, is where do I pay you directly? Am I paying you for your time or your service? And I was like, well, no, you don't. I get paid if you buy a life insurance contract. And I don't get paid. So all this time that I spend with you educating and answering questions and, you know, getting to that shared understanding and clarity about what we're trying to do here is all time that I'm not being compensated for.
Right. And there's, let's see, I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of times we've done that and people have not gone through with policies. It's
correct.
It's like a realtor who shows 50 houses to the same right. broke couple. And then that couple just ghosts them or disappears or says, right. We're not going to buy.
Can't qualify for lending.
Can't qualify maybe. For a loan. Right. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's cost of doing business. It's the way it is with anything that you're promoting. You know, you're not going to reel in 100% of what's out there that you spend your time on. But, you know, it highlights zero sum thinking too, which I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have with, and people think like that for a reason. Cause we're taught to think like that. Like, hey, Paul, for you, you're going to make a commission. So I must be losing something
somehow. Yeah.
I must be losing somehow. This must be a bad deal for me. Well, if that was the case, I don't know why I would own so many policies myself and several that I bought from somebody else.
Yeah. And as a consumer, first of all, I've owned whole life insurance for 21 years. And I never thought that, oh, my certified financial planner, who was lovely, is getting paid and I must be like losing out somehow. I knew exactly what I was buying.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought like that.
Yeah.
Because I understood like, hey, people need to make money. She's providing me expert service and therefore that has value, right? And it's no different here. And I think our clients especially understand that this is a win-win relationship. We're not taking your money under management, nor do we want to. You are getting a product that is guaranteed and has all the attributes that we talk about on this podcast. And we're teaching you how to control your own money and not lose use of more and more of your dollars every year. I mean, what could be better than that? And there is nothing better, quite honestly.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if people are taught to be jealous of somebody who's got better than you, or I don't know where that comes from, but those aren't our people anyway.
You're not going to get far with a zero sum thinking mindset in this world anyway. You're going to go it alone.
That's right.
Yeah.
No question.
So the only last thing I'll say is any financial entertainers who say this, check their website. Tell me how many affiliate links they have on there for some term life insurance company that probably
every time
also
you
sells
click
full
on
life
it,
insurance. Oh, yep, they're getting paid.
They're getting paid.
You don't think Dave Ramsey's getting paid every time you click on this this term life insurance company or, you know, whatever real estate agency he promotes or whatever. Like, I mean, the guy's getting paid big time.
Yes.
Is he still providing a service? Sure.
His stuff is basically just kind of a glorified click funnel.
It is a glorified click funnel if you spend any time looking at it, which I do just until I lose my appetite, which is very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
And we only work with capitalists anyway, right? So
yeah, if you're not a capitalist, forget it. If you don't think I should make money for my service, then then go find the guy who doesn't make any money for the service he provides.
Right. That question came up with somebody that I know, and it was funny. It was just like, well, can I just go do this myself? And just call a home office and get a policy through the home office. I was like, well, no. You're going to be kicked down to some sort of person in who's got the word agent in his duty description. And that agent will be paid a commission when a premium is paid by you, the policy owner.
There's no good deals.
No.
You can't skip the agent, just like you can't go shopping life insurance with cash. Like, hey, look, I got cash. Can I get a better deal because I have cash? No, you can't. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
That actually came up the other day with that person I was telling you about that just called me, you know, cold call. I answered the phone, which I normally don't. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise, but, you know, consumer demanding that I send him an illustration, you know, blah, 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 so he can compare it to the four other illustrations that he just recently received in the last week after watching some videos on YouTube. And, you know, you could tell he hadn't, you know, he hadn't been educated, hadn't done the work, claimed that he had read the book. I didn't really believe him, but someone that wasn't compatible with how I work and how Dave works. We don't do that. We don't play with people or work with people that are illustration shopping, because an illustration is just a piece of paper with numbers on it. Anyway, right. I digress.
Okay.
So how don't do that. If you're thinking about doing that.
This one. Yeah. Don't call Paul if you're going to do that. It ain't going to be a pleasant. So how about this one?
I'm a jerk, actually.
That evil insurance company keeps all the cash value when you die.
Yeah, so this is a misconception and a misunderstanding based on somebody else's misunderstanding or downright lies about how whole life insurance, the product, is designed and structured. The cash value, so yes, when you die, your beneficiaries will get the death benefit. The cash value, however, in a whole life policy is simply what the death benefit is worth right now. Also, you could say it's the present value of the future death benefit. Difference being future, you know, growth and premiums that are paid in between now and that event, that unknown event in the future, but certainly will occur. So no, they don't keep your cash value. But think about this business model, Dave, right? Like, there's no way life insurance companies would exist if you got everything back and a death benefit.
And the death benefit. What this comment really highlights is somebody's ignorance. As soon as somebody says that, I say, okay, this person's not even worth continuing to listen to or even argue with, because they don't understand and they don't want to understand, because then they wouldn't be able to say that anymore.
Yeah. And of course, folks, we're not talking about y'all, because we don't get that much, except as a genuine question for someone who's just like, hey, I heard this. Is this true? And then once you explain, you know, kind of what we just said, it becomes clear, like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Because, folks, life insurance companies don't make a huge return on the whole life product, dividend paying, non-dividend paying, doesn't matter. It's not a huge return. It's single digits.
Yeah.
Single digits.
So it's important, and the reason we want to bring this up is so people know how to defend that if they're talking to somebody in their network or somebody who's you know, Uncle Bob, right, who's hating on them for doing this. Well, fact is, one, you don't have a cash value account. Like, that's a part of the death benefit. It's kind of like if Uncle Bob brings this up, say, well, hey, Uncle Bob, have you ever sold a house? Probably yes. Hey, did you have any equity in that home? Yeah, I had $50,000 of equity in it. What'd you sell it for? $500,000. Great. So when you sold it, did you ask for $550,000? You wanted the asset value and your equity? He'd be like, no, of course not. Well, that's exactly what life insurance is. The asset is the death benefit. The cash value is the equity. It's no different than your house being the asset and your principal being the equity that you have in the house and the appreciation. Right.
Right.
You don't get both.
Certainly don't get both.
But the death benefit also goes up every single year that you pay a premium. They don't say that when they're, you know, when the haters are talking about this.
Yeah. I don't think they really know that a lot of the time.
It's ignorance, mostly. Yep. I think some of them combine ignorance with dishonesty. But in either case, is that who you want to take advice from?
No. Certainly not.
Right. Okay. How about this one? You have to pay interest to borrow your own money, dummy.
Yeah. This is an oldie, but a goodie. Okay. So when I pay the premiums on my auto insurance or my homeowner's insurance, are those premium dollars mine anymore?
No.
So the company takes those premium dollars that I've given them so that they, in case my house burns down, they can pay me the cost to rebuild in short order. Well, the same thing goes with life insurance premium for the whole life product, is that when you pay those whole life premiums, those premium dollars are no longer yours. You have contractual access via the cash value loan provision of a growing pool of equity in the policy that you can borrow against, of course, but you're borrowing the life insurance company's money. You're not borrowing your money. Your money or your death benefit, is, I guess more accurate, is serving as the collateral for that loan. And we've been over this many times, but yeah it's a, again, just a position of ignorance. It's a good soundbite for, you know, the bulk of the American public that's not going to, that's going to take what this guy says at face value as the gospel, as I like to say, and not, and look no further. Oh, that's a, why would I do that? Why would I pay interest to borrow my own money? What a terrible idea. Oh my goodness. Anyway, folks, you know, it's not the way it works. It's a phenomenal loan to take.
Yeah.
For 100%. All parties involved.
Yep. Good. I got nothing else to add to that. You know, except that, you take a loan against it and it keeps growing in the background, compounding in the background as if you never touched it. Pretty nice.
Yeah, I like answering that question for people when I say, listen, this is the easiest way I can explain this. You have two twins, they open up the exact same policy in the exact same day, right? Identical premium, right? Everything's the same. One guy, you know, it's year two. We both make our second year premium. One guy had some loans out during the year. The other guy didn't have any loans out during the year. They're going to get the same exact dividend.
Same exact. Yeah. If you use a,
and I'm talking non-direct recognition specifically, but
yeah,
the other dividend will be, well, I don't know what it would be actually, but anyway,
yeah,
same thing.
There you go.
No different, right? Yep. The policies will look exactly the same. Anyway, there you go. So
good explanation. This is a funny one. I've heard this from people directly before, and I don't understand it. They say, well, that sounds risky. I'm too traditional for that. That sounds risky. I'm like, okay, well, tell me.
Oh, like this is right up your alley.
Tell me where the risk is. Yeah. Is it the guaranteed cash, access to cash? Is it the guaranteed growth? Is it the guaranteed death benefit, no matter how old you live to be? Which part is risky? They don't know.
Again, I think it's just a lack of understanding that life insurance companies have traditionally been, for a long time, a very stable, very safe place to warehouse money.
Absolutely.
When you look at the history of the Great Depression and how many bank failures there were from, you know, starting in 1929 in the fall to, you know, post-World War II or whatever, you know, it was tens of thousands of banks, right? Or whatever. It was a lot. No, that number pulled up in front of me, but comparatively, just a small fraction of your smaller, weaker life insurance company. So we don't work with any of those. We work with strong, very strong companies with a great dividend history and a, you know, well over 100 years is what that means. So it's not something I ever personally thought about, but it's a simple question to answer and address with a prospective client, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, you know, if people give it the time, the difference between somebody who has these kind of biases towards whole life insurance and somebody who is all in on infinite banking is that one of them has done their research and seen both sides of the argument.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Once you catch IBC, you can't unsee this.
Yeah.
And I remember when I read that first book, and then Nelson's book, and then a few other, you know, I've read every single book in existence on the subject now, I think, is that I couldn't unsee what I read in those first few books. I was like, this is tremendous. And I screamed it from the top of the mountains and told everybody, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I just stumbled upon this.
Well, see,
this is great.
You were pumping whole life insurance and infinite banking before you were an agent for a full year.
Yeah, I was pumping it, Dave, as a client. I was.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump to one of the later ones here.
We probably need to edit that. That was too much.
Mark tape.
Mark that. Yep. Mark tape.
Yep. I don't know. Maybe we just keep it. We'll probably forget about it and it'll just go. Okay. How about this one? Only idiots buy whole life insurance.
Well, then you're looking at two idiots.
Two huge idiots, because we buy a ton of it. Put a lot of premium dollars into it every year and own a lot of policies. So we're a couple morons. So I think like you said, we don't sell anything. People pursue this and they come to us because we're the experts on the subject.
Yeah. And what I've been saying... Oh, I'm sorry.
Have you ever talked to somebody, or have you ever had a client who has not researched infinite banking?
No.
No, of course not. They have to research it. So by default, they know more than any of the haters out there who have not researched it.
Right. Yeah. So if you're quiz, it means you really don't understand what you have. You know, we have some high speed clients. Why are these clients, and we have regular contact, but it's not like we're sending in an email, hey, you want to buy another policy? You know, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about natural expansion, but why are these people trying to pay more premium? Unsolicited from me and you, pension checks coming in now. I've got my second job going. I'm ready to open up a second policy on myself.
Right.
It's because they get it, folks. You know, that's not coming. It's not, you know, Paul Fugier's good idea that they should do this. It's good that they're doing it because they're expanding their system to accommodate more income. Mm-hmm. And it's going to literally pay dividends their entire life when they do this. And they're taking tax-free passive income off the policy later in life. More tax-free passive income than they otherwise would have. And they've financed this many weddings and this many vehicles or this many houses or this college education. Not sure why you would ever go to college now, but just kidding.
I don't know.
Kinda.
But, well, I know. That's a whole other episode. But, I mean, who are some of the idiots that are our clients?
Well, we've got doctors, pilots, military officers of high rank.
Yeah. Public accountants.
Like CPAs. Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, business owners, real estate investors who understand money, life insurance agents. Actually, we have life insurance agents as clients.
Yep.
So,
again, it's... And, I wish the general public could pick up on this concept a bit more, and they could, because it's so simple to understand. Mm-hmm. But if you're not looking and you're not in that mindset of, why, be curious, I guess, right? Why are these people doing this?
Yeah.
Like, we know people that pay seven figures in premium every year.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Why are they doing that? If they make that much, they must be pretty good at something.
They're good at something.
Which means they got to be smart. You got to be smart, you know, or yes, athletically gifted if you're, maybe you're just an athlete and you're a moron. But even then, you have to have a lot of determination and consistency in what you do.
That's right.
But yeah, that's a good point. Be curious. Why? Why is somebody doing that? Why aren't they just following the crowd and doing what everybody else is doing? And why are they... Probably those people that you're questioning, they're probably doing something different and they're getting different results. So you may want to ask them, what kind of results are you getting? And, why is that?
It's not like it's this like novel thing. Like, hey, step one, put your money where you can control it.
Yeah. Step two, leave millions of dollars tax-free to your family when you graduate.
Yes.
Like you must be, I mean, they might as well say, you know, only idiots control their capital and only idiots leave millions of tax-free dollars to their family.
Well, we're idiots.
I guess so. You definitely are, my friend.
I'm wouldn't right there mind with you. And a few million dollar inheritance in the next 20 years or so. I mean, I love my parents. I want them to live forever, but you know, that would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's not going to happen, but
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be upset about it. But again, bottom line, we've never worked with a client who hasn't educated themselves and seen both sides of the argument before they purchased a policy.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't want to work with folks that don't understand it, because that's bad business. They're going to forget why we're doing this, and they're going to cancel their contract down the road anyway.
Yeah.
Right? That is not what we're after. This is a long-term, lifelong, generational commitment. And that's why it's a quality, we're looking for quality people and quality business, not.
Right.
I mean, we like volume is fine, but it's the right volume, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, my persistency rating is in the upper 90s, which means, yep. You know, I actually just had two clients, the first two clients ever in the last 5 years, cancel policies because they just, we talked, they just couldn't, they can't make ends meet. And they see this, they still see it as an expense.
It's a bill.
I mean, yeah. Of course, granted, they're in their first few years, so they're not on the other side. They're sure. Still building and capitalizing. So I could see it a bit, but I mean, it was so small to begin with. I was really bummed for them that they couldn't just get through the downturn and make it happen. But you know,
and that happens. Life. You know, my question to folks though is, there's got to be something else that can go first.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. So
there's got to be something else. This is like the most important financial asset holistically that your family probably has, other than you know your job.
Yeah.
There's got to be some other stuff that can be given up.
Yeah.
But if there's not, I mean.
Yeah.
I would never cancel my policies.
Me neither. I'd borrow money from you before I had to cancel them to pay the premium, right?
Yeah.
And we'd figure out an arrangement. We'd make it happen. But yeah. Well, cool. I mean, there's so many others. How about this final one? How about it's too good to be true? And if it's too good to be true, there must be a catch.
Yep. So I would say a guy named Trevor, one of my earlier clients, said exactly that.
Yeah. And now how many policies does he own?
Three.
Nice. Yep. So I'd say it's true if you're a customer. But when you're an owner, you get things that customers don't get. Mm-hmm. And when you're an owner of a policy at a mutual life insurance company, you're an owner of the company. And owners, they get profit return in the form of dividends. They get benefits. They get to be first in line for cash. They get guarantees, like a guaranteed death benefit.
Yep. And I also think there's this kind of intangible that our client's going to go through this transition of their mindset, and they start looking at the world a little bit differently, because they are putting money where they can get to it, and they know what they're going to have this year. They know what they're going to have next year and the year after and 20 years from now. So yeah, man, that's just a lack of understanding though, right? It's too good to be true. It's whole life insurance. It's been around for 200 years. Like it's very simple. You pay premium, company, you know, unilateral contract will provide this obligation down the road when you graduate. And in the meantime, you've got this thing called the cash value, which is living benefits and all these other living benefits that you have as part of the contract, right? So it's very simple. It's a very simple product. It's very easy to understand. We try to simplify it as much as we can. I mean, it's very basic. It's meat and potatoes is what I like to say. It's so simple.
And if you think it's too good to be true, let's research it and find out for yourself. You know, ask questions.
You know, you want to... I'll show you my policies. I mean, we're really doing this.
I've never had anybody ask me, but I'm willing. I'm happy to pull them up. You know, I just pull up the portal and say, here, pick one. I'll show it to you.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll do like a tutorial because some people aren't super tech savvy. So I'll kind of walk them through like how easy it is to get a policy loan, and I'll bring up my personal stuff and just say, this is literally how easy I can get to money.
Yep. Piece of cake.
So...
Well, all right. So that's good. I'm sure that covers just the tip of the iceberg of all the things that you hear, but I think those are some pretty common ones. So now hopefully all of our listeners, clients, people who are doing this or endeavoring to do this in their own lives, you got a little bit of a firepower for those arguments or those statements.
And if you're a hater, ask another silly question.
And we'll be happy to shoot you down. Like, you set them up and we'll knock them out of the park, because they're easy to knock out of the park.
Give me another meatball to hit.
Yeah. Johnny.
But I would say this, just for if you are a hater of just whatever, that's fine. But you ought to pick up that book. It's 92 pages and you should read it. It's so clear to me that this is what folks should be doing. I don't know how you won't understand it, unless you're so biased now that these are just hucksters, and oh my goodness. Yeah. Could be farther from the truth.
Yep. Well said. Well, all right, everybody. Good episode. I don't know if we edited out that spot or not. By the time this airs, we'll see. But
well, people are going to laugh.
People will laugh if they have a sense of humor at all. And if you don't, we'll still work with you.
That's right.
All right. Well, hey, have a good week, everybody. Until next week, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.